In the modern world, there are still humans who have never seen their own reflection. Deep in the folds of mountains no map dares name, under a sky untouched by satellite or signal, there are voices, whispers carried on smoke, footsteps etched into sacred earth, and eyes that still see the world through stories older than civilization. Here, fire is not just warmth, it's a portal. The drumbeat is not music, it's memory and belief. Belief is not a choice, it's survival. They dance beneath moons that mark seasons not in months, but in omens. They speak with spirits you were taught not to believe in, and they live by rules not written in any book, but carved into bone, bark, and blood. We came to find answers. Instead, we found a world that questions everything we think we know. Asaro Mudmen. In the remote highlands of Papua New Guinea, the morning mist rolls thick through valleys where time seems untouched. Here lies the Asaro Valley, a place where emerald hills rise into cloud and winding rivers cut silver paths through the land. For generations, the Asaro people have lived in this hidden world, their history carried in stories whispered by elders around night fires. Among their most striking traditions is one that has made them both feared and remembered: the haunting appearance of the Mudmen. With pale clay masks, hollow eyes, and jagged mouths, these figures seem to rise from another realm entirely. The origin of this image is not carved in stone, but carried in legend, a story of survival born in the shadow of danger. Long ago, when a rival tribe descended upon the Asaro, the people found themselves outmatched. They fled to the edges of the Asaro River, sinking into its clay-rich banks. As dusk fell, they emerged covered in thick, pale mud that clung to their skin like ghostly armor. Their faces were hidden beneath crude masks molded from the same river clay, the features stretched into twisted shapes inspired by dreams and visions. When their enemies saw these spectral forms moving slowly through the mist, they believed they faced spirits of the dead. Terrified, they turned and fled without a fight. This moment became more than a tale of clever escape. It was woven into the spiritual identity of the Asaro. The masks were never again used in battle, for killing while wearing them was thought to offend the spirits that gave them their power. Instead, they became sacred, reserved for ceremonies that reenact that night of deliverance. Each mask is unique, shaped with deep symbolic meaning, and its creation is treated as a spiritual act in itself. In modern ceremonies, the Mudmen emerge from the trees and mist as if stepping out of another world. Their movements are slow, deliberate, each gesture echoing the first time they walked as living spirits. The weight of the mask presses down, but it is carried with reverence, as though it channels the presence of the ancestors. In the silence that surrounds them, the highland air seems to thicken, the valley holding its breath. The Asaro believe that these figures connect them to the invisible forces that guard their people, a reminder that the mind can be a weapon more powerful than any spear. As they vanish again into the mist, their image lingers, a living fragment of history, a ritual born from fear yet preserved as a symbol of strength, cunning, and the unseen spirit of the land. Zulu. In the rolling hills and wide valleys of KwaZulu-Natal, where the grasslands sway under a vast African sky, the story of the Zulu people rises like the distant peaks of the Drakensberg. Their name carries echoes of history, from the days when great warrior kings forged one of the most formidable kingdoms on the continent. Yet the true heart of the Zulu is not found only in the chronicles of battles and leaders, but in the spiritual fabric that binds them to the land and to the generations before them. For the Zulu, The world is a meeting place of two realms, the visible, where humans live, and the invisible, where the ancestors dwell. This connection is not abstract. It is alive in the rustle of wind through the grass, in the rhythm of drums at night, and in the guidance sought during life's most uncertain moments. Central to Zulu belief is the veneration of Amadlozi, the ancestors. These are not distant figures lost to time, but active guardians whose influence shapes the living world. A family's well-being, the success of a harvest, the outcome of a journey, all are believed to rest in their hands. To remain in their favor requires constant respect and recognition. Ceremonies of offering are held in cattle kraals, where the scent of burning herbs curls into the air and voices call out in praise and petition. When misfortune strikes, it may be seen as a sign that the bond with the ancestors has weakened, that the living have failed to honor their guardians properly. In these moments, the Sangomas, diviners trained through visions and dreams, become essential. Their role is to read the signs hidden in bone casting, in dreams, in the patterns of life itself, to find the cause and restore harmony between the two worlds. Without that harmony, even the mightiest warrior stands vulnerable. At dusk, the hills glow gold under the fading light, and the sound of drums rolls across the land. A gathering forms, voices rising in layered harmonies that seem to stretch beyond the earth and into the spirit realm. In the dance, feet stamp the soil as if awakening the ancestors beneath, calling them to listen. The presence of the unseen is felt in the charged air, in the unity of movement and song. This is not only tradition, it is survival, a living dialogue between the present and the past. Through centuries of change, the Zulu have held this sacred relationship, carrying forward the belief that no path can be walked without the blessing of those who walked before. In their rituals, the land and the people are one, bound together by the eternal guardianship of the ancestors. Xhosa. Along the windswept coastline and gentle hills of South Africa's Eastern Cape, the Xhosa people have lived for centuries, their villages rooted in a land where the ocean meets the earth in a constant, timeless rhythm. The Xhosa language, rich with clicks and tones, carries the cadence of their history, telling of a people whose identity is woven from courage, resilience, and deep spiritual connection. In their worldview, life is a circle without end, one in which the living, the yet to be born, and the ancestors share the same thread. This belief is not just remembered in stories. It is lived each day, carried in rituals, songs, and the way the land itself is treated with respect. Here, the spiritual realm is never far away. It lives in the air, the soil, and the ever-present whisper of those who came before. Xhosa spirituality revolves around honoring the ancestors, believed to guide and protect the living. These spirits are the bridge between humans and the divine, capable of bringing blessings or misfortune, depending on the strength of the bond. Ceremonies to honor them are held with care, often in the open kraals of family homesteads, where offerings of food and the smoke of burning herbs rise into the sky. Diviners, known as Amagkirha, play a central role in this spiritual life. Trained through visions and dreams, they interpret signs from the ancestors, heal illnesses, and restore balance to troubled lives. One of the most sacred traditions is Ulwaluko, the initiation rite for young men. This is not simply a passage into adulthood, but a transformation of identity, deeply symbolic and tied to the history of the people. Such rituals are not taken lightly, for neglect or disrespect toward them is believed to invite spiritual imbalance, which can manifest as sickness, swing, or misfortune within the community. When the time for ceremony comes, the sound of drums and voices travels far across the hills. Men and women gather in song, their harmonies rising like a call across the generations. The rhythm of the dance matches the heartbeat of the earth beneath their feet, each step a reaffirmation of the unbroken link between the living and the dead. In these moments, the ancestors are not distant memories. They are present, felt in the stillness between drumbeats, in the sudden rush of wind through the grass. The rivers, mountains, and coastline are sacred witnesses to this bond, their shapes unchanged as they watch over each gathering. For the Xhosa, the past is not something left behind. It walks alongside them, shaping each decision, each act of courage, each prayer offered to the unseen. Through these traditions, they keep alive a spiritual inheritance as vast and enduring as the land itself. Aboriginal Australians. Across the boundless landscapes of Australia, from the scorched red heart of the outback to the tropical coasts where turquoise waters meet the shore, live the Aboriginal peoples, the oldest continuous cultures on Earth. Their presence stretches back over 60,000 years, a span of time so vast that their beginnings merge with the creation of the world itself. In their view, the land is not simply terrain to be crossed. It is a living, breathing entity. Hills, rivers, deserts, and forests are bound to the people through sacred narratives called the Dreaming. These stories are more than myths. They are the law, the map, and the heartbeat of existence, passed down in song, dance, and art since the dawn of memory. In the Dreaming, every stone, every waterhole, every animal holds the mark of the ancestors who shaped them, leaving behind a spiritual blueprint for life. The Dreaming is both origin and eternity, a realm outside linear time where ancestral beings traveled across the land, forming mountains, carving riverbeds, and breathing life into plants and creatures. These journeys left behind sacred sites, each a point of immense spiritual gravity. To harm them is to tear at the very fabric of the world. The duty of every person is to protect these places, to care for the land as one would care for family. This duty is fulfilled through ceremony, through song lines, ancient pathways that trace the steps of the creator beings across the continent. A song line is both a spiritual chant and a geographical guide, allowing travelers to navigate vast distances while keeping alive the memory of creation. Yet this sacred balance is delicate. Neglect of ceremonies, disregard for sacred law, or damage to the land risks breaking the connection between people, nature, and the ancestral realm. For Aboriginal Australians, such a break is not merely a loss. It is a danger to the harmony of the world itself. As the sun sinks low over the desert plains, the earth glows with the colors of fire and ochre. Around a circle of flame, elders and younger generations gather. Painted in ochre and white, bodies move to the steady beat of clapsticks and the deep, resonant hum of the didgeridoo. Their dances mirror the movements of creation. Their songs retrace the steps of beings who walked these lands before humans. Above them, the night sky blooms with stars, each one a campfire of the ancestors watching over their descendants. The Milky Way arches like a great river, flowing between worlds. Here, there are no boundaries between past and present, between land and spirit. For Aboriginal Australians, the Dreaming is not a chapter that ended long ago. It is the living breath of the earth, an eternal thread that ties each person to the beginning of all things. To walk upon this land is to walk within the story itself. Maya descendants. In the misty highlands of Guatemala and the jungled lowlands of southern Mexico, the descendants of the ancient Maya still walk upon the same earth their ancestors shaped with stone, Story, and Sky. Their cities once rose in grand steps toward the heavens, carved with glyphs that spoke of kings, gods, and the turning of the stars. The Maya saw the world as a living tapestry, woven from the realms of the sky, the earth, and the underworld. Every mountain, river, and cave was a point of contact with the divine. The cycles of the sun and moon, the movements of Venus, the patterns of the seasons, all were threads in the great cosmic order. Though centuries have passed since the height of their empire, the spirit of the Maya still breathes in the rituals and beliefs carried forward by their descendants. For the Maya, time itself was sacred. Their intricate calendars were not merely tools for marking days, but guides for living in harmony with the cosmic order. The Dzogchen, a 260-day ritual calendar, dictated the timing of ceremonies, planting, and important community events. Priests and daykeepers studied its cycles, interpreting the will of the gods and the guidance of the ancestors. In the Maya worldview, balance was essential. To neglect offerings or break the sacred order risked inviting chaos. Ceremonies were held to honor the gods of maize, rain, and sun, for these forces were not abstract concepts, but living beings whose favor sustained life. Fire rituals still flicker in the villages today, where offerings of incense, flowers, and food are made to both the ancient deities and the spirits of the dead. Sacred caves, believed to be entrances to the underworld, are places of pilgrimage where prayers echo against the stone walls, carrying messages into the unseen realms. In this belief system, the living are never alone. They move through a world layered with unseen presences, each watching, guiding, and sometimes testing them. At dawn in the Guatemalan highlands, the air is cool and heavy with the scent of pine. A small group gathers before a stone altar, its surface blackened from countless fires. The daykeeper chants in a language older than the nations that now divide the land, calling upon the ancestors and the gods to bless the day. Flames leap into the air, carrying smoke upward toward the mountains, believed to be ancient protectors standing guard over the people. In that moment, the centuries between the ancient cities and the present dissolve. The same sun that once rose over the pyramids of Tikal now bathes the fields of maize in golden light. The Maya descendants keep the old ways alive not as relics of the past, but as living truths, a constant dialogue between humanity, the earth, and the vast forces that govern the universe. For them, every day is part of a cycle that began before history and will continue long after memory fades. Shuar. In the deep emerald canopy of the upper Amazon, where sunlight filters through endless layers of leaves and rivers curl like silver serpents through the land, live the Shuar people. For centuries, their world has been one of rain-soaked earth, hidden waterways, and the constant murmur of life in every direction. The forest is not merely a backdrop to their existence. It is a living relative, a sacred realm where every plant, animal, and river carries spirit. Within this world, the Shuar hold beliefs that thread the human soul to the forces of nature, and to realms beyond what the eyes can see. The stories of creation, the power of spirits, and the thin line between life and death are carried forward in ritual and song. Among their most profound traditions is the belief in Arutam, the spirit power. This force is not given freely. It must be sought through vision quests deep in the forest, often near sacred waterfalls where the sound of rushing water drowns the noise of the ordinary world. In these moments, the seeker fasts, drinks sacred plant brews, and waits for visions sent by ancestral spirits. To encounter Arutam is to receive strength, protection, and wisdom. but such power must be respected, for it comes with responsibility. The Shuar also hold rituals to communicate with the Sentsaq, invisible spirit darts used by shamans to heal or harm, tools that require great control and moral balance. In times past, the Shuar were known for a practice that became one of the most misunderstood elements of their culture, the shrinking of enemy heads, or tsansa. This ritual was not for brutality's sake, but to trap and neutralize the avenging spirit of a slain enemy, ensuring it could not return to harm the living. Such acts were governed by strict spiritual laws, deeply tied to their understanding of the soul and the cycle of life and death. When the night falls over the rainforest, the air fills with the calls of unseen creatures and the steady hum of insects. In the glow of a small fire, the shaman begins to chant, the words carrying the cadence of countless generations. Around him, the forest listens. The flames flicker against painted faces, and the smoke rises to meet the dark canopy, carrying prayers to the spirits that dwell beyond sight. For the Shuar, these moments are not a step into the past. They are part of an ongoing relationship with the living forest and the invisible forces within it. In their eyes, every breath of wind, every ripple in the river, every flicker of firelight is a reminder that the worlds of humans and spirits are forever intertwined, bound together in the endless green heart of the Amazon. Satere Mawe. Deep in the dense rainforests of the Brazilian Amazon, where the air hangs heavy with the scent of damp earth and blooming orchids, live the Satere Mawe people. Their villages rest along winding rivers shaded by towering trees, the canopy above alive with the calls of birds and the rustle of unseen creatures. The Satere Mawe are known as the children of the Guaraná, for they were the first to cultivate and share this sacred plant, a gift, they say, was given by the spirits. For them, the forest is not only home, but a living being, one that shelters, nourishes, and watches over its people. Every tradition, every story, is rooted in the belief that life is a web of connections between humans, the earth, and the spirit world. Among their most striking traditions is the bullet ant initiation, a rite of passage that transforms boys into men. The ritual is not merely a test of endurance, but a deeply spiritual trial, believed to grant strength, courage, and the blessings of the ancestors. The bullet ant, known for possessing one of the most intense stings in the natural world, is treated with reverence as a messenger of power. During the ceremony, the ants are carefully woven into gloves made of leaves, their stingers facing inward. The initiate must wear these gloves for long moments, enduring the waves of pain without a cry, his resolve measured by the steadiness of his movements. Elders say the pain opens a doorway to spiritual growth, allowing the initiate to receive protection from unseen forces. Alongside this, the Satere Mawe honor their bond with Guaraná through planting ceremonies, chants, and offerings. For the plant is more than food or trade. It is a link to the spirit that gave it to their ancestors. Neglecting these rituals, they believe, risks severing that sacred bond and upsetting the balance of life in the forest. As the initiation ceremony reaches its height, the air is thick with the beat of drums and the low hum of voices chanting in unison. The boy, now tested by the sting's fire, stands among his people with a gaze fixed not on the pain, but on the horizon of his new life. Around him, the forest seems to join the ritual. The wind shifts, leaves tremble, and the scent of Guaraná flowers drifts through the air. In that moment, the line between human and spirit blurs. The elders see not just a boy who has endured, but a soul who has stepped fully into the circle of tradition, bound to his people and to the spirits of the forest. For the Satere Mawe, Such rites are not relics of the past, but living promises, ensuring that the strength of their ancestors will carry forward into every heartbeat of the generations yet to come. Fula. Across the wide, sunlit expanses of the Sahel, where the golden grasses sway beneath an endless sky, the Fula people move with the seasons. Known for their elegance, resilience, and deep cultural pride, they are among the largest nomadic groups in the world, traveling across vast stretches of West Africa from Senegal to Cameroon. Their lives follow the ancient rhythms of cattle herding, but their identity is shaped as much by spirit as by survival. The Fula carry a heritage woven from oral histories, poetry, and codes of conduct that bind community and belief. Beneath their traditions runs a quiet but unshakable faith in the unseen, a connection to ancestors, to divine order, and to the moral compass that has guided them for centuries. At the heart of Fula tradition is Pulaku, an ethical code that defines dignity, patience, modesty, and self-control. This code is not just social guidance. It is a spiritual obligation, believed to align one's life with the blessings of the ancestors and the will of the Creator. Alongside Pulaku are rituals that mark the great passages of life: births welcomed with blessings, marriages sealed with prayers, and deaths honored with recitations meant to guide the soul onward. Storytelling is a sacred art, with griots preserving genealogies that stretch back through countless generations. The Fula also keep practices of divination and healing, often led by marabouts, spiritual guides whose knowledge blends Islamic teachings with ancestral wisdom. In some regions, elaborate coming-of-age rituals test endurance and self-control, teaching that strength is not in aggression, but in the mastery of one's own will. Neglecting these codes and ceremonies is seen not only as a loss of honor, but as a disruption of the balance between the living and the spirits who protect them. At sunset, when the herds have been brought in and the sky glows in shades of gold and crimson, the Fula gather in small circles on the open plain. Elders speak in measured tones, their words laced with proverbs that carry the weight of centuries. Young men and women listen in silence, learning the meaning of restraint and pride. In the distance, a lone flute plays, its notes drifting into the vastness, as if speaking to the spirits that travel the night wind. The cattle shift quietly, the earth cooling beneath them, and the stars begin to emerge, each one a reminder of the countless generations who have crossed these same lands. For the Fula, the journey is never only across the earth. It is also along the unseen pathways of heritage, spirit, and honor, where every step must be worthy of those who walked before. Rapa Nui, far out in the vast expanse of the Pacific Ocean, over 2,000 kilometers from the nearest inhabited land, lies Rapa Nui, a volcanic island carved by wind, waves, and human hands. Here, the land rises in gentle slopes from the sea, crowned with the silent watch of the Moai, towering stone figures whose faces gaze toward the horizon. For centuries, the Rapa Nui people have lived in the shadow of these colossal statues, their origins rooted in ancestral migration from distant Polynesian islands. Every hill, every rock, every shoreline is bound to a story, and those stories weave together a belief system in which ancestors are ever present, their spirits bound to the land they once walked. The Moai are not simply monuments, they are living vessels of mana, the sacred life force, connecting the people to their lineage and to the unseen realm. The construction of the Moai was a spiritual undertaking, one that required not only physical labor, but ritual precision. The statues were carved from volcanic tuff at the quarry of Rano Raraku, each shaped with features that honored specific ancestors. It was believed that when the Moai were placed upon their stone platforms, or Ahu, they channeled protection, prosperity, and fertility to the surrounding land. These great figures faced inland, watching over the villages, while their backs turned to the ocean guarded the island from unseen threats. The mana of the Moai was activated through ceremonies involving chants, dances, and offerings, binding the spiritual and physical worlds. But such power was delicate. If the people neglected rituals or allowed discord to take root, the mana could wane. In later centuries, between clans led to the toppling of many statues, a symbolic act meant to sever the spiritual protection of rivals. These struggles were not merely about territory or resources, but about the very favor of the ancestors themselves. Today, when the sun rises over Rapa Nui, its light washes over the weathered faces of the Moai, bringing them once more into the day. Standing before them in the quiet dawn, it is easy to imagine the ceremonies that once filled these spaces with song and movement. The ocean roars in the distance, the wind sweeps across the grasslands, and the air feels thick with the presence of those long gone, yet still near. For the Rapa Nui, the connection to the ancestors is not a relic of the past, it is an enduring truth. The Moai remain as guardians, as vessels of spirit, and as reminders that the strength of a people lies in the unbroken chain between the living and those who came before. On this small island adrift in the immensity of the Pacific, the ancient and the eternal meet in stone, sky, and sea. Sami. In the far north of Scandinavia, where winter nights stretch for months and the summer sun barely touches the horizon before rising again, live the Sami people, keepers of one of Europe's oldest living cultures. Their homeland, known as Sápmi, spans the tundra, mountains, and forests of Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Russia's Kola Peninsula. Here, the wind carries the sound of reindeer hooves across snow, and the sky at night blooms with the green fire of the aurora borealis. For the Sami, this land is more than home. It is sacred, alive with spirits that dwell in rivers, stones, and the endless expanse of the sky. In the heart of their history lies a shamanic tradition that once guided every aspect of life, a belief system in which the Noaidi, the shaman, walked between worlds. The Noaidi were healers, guides, and mediators between the human world and the spirit realm. They worked with the help of a sacred drum, its surface painted with symbols of gods, animals, and cosmic forces. The steady rhythm of the drumbeat was said to carry the Noaidi into a trance, a journey into the unseen, where they could seek the wisdom of spirits or intercede on behalf of the people. These journeys were not without risk. The spirit world was a place of both power and danger, and the Noaidi had to return with their soul intact. Ceremonies were often held in the open air, the sound of chanting mingling with the wind, and offerings made at saits, sacred stones or natural formations believed to house powerful spirits. In this worldview, the reindeer was more than sustenance. It was a spiritual companion, often featuring in rituals that tied the people's survival to the will of the gods. Yet this harmony was fragile. Neglecting the spirits, failing to honor the natural world, or breaking taboos could bring misfortune, illness, or harsh weather upon the community. In the stillness of a winter night, the aurora arcs across the sky, shifting in waves of green and violet. Around a fire, the Noaidi begins the slow beat of the drum, the sound resonating through the frozen air like a pulse from the earth itself. Eyes close, chants rise, and the boundaries between the physical and spiritual dissolve. The snow reflects the flicker of flames, and the forest seems to lean in, listening. In that moment, the Sami are not just a people of the present. They are part of an unbroken chain that stretches back through the centuries, bound to the reindeer, the land, and the spirits of the North. The shamanic traditions, though tested by time, remain a living reminder that in Sápmi, the world is never silent, and every wind carries the voices of the ancestors. Mangbetu. In the northeastern forests and savannas of the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the light filters through tall grass and the air is rich with the scent of rain, live the Mangbetu people, a culture long admired for its artistry, elegance, and deep spiritual traditions. For centuries, the Mangbetu have been known for their mastery of music, sculpture, and intricate crafts, each piece imbued with meaning. Their society, once ruled by powerful monarchs, carried a spiritual worldview in which life was shaped not only by the physical world, but by the presence of invisible forces. The earth, sky, and rivers were alive with spirits whose favor could guide harvests, protect communities, and guard the soul. In their history lies a tradition of beauty and symbolism that reached even into the shaping of the human body itself. Among the Mangbetu's most distinctive customs was the practice of elongating the skull, known as Lipombo. From early childhood, the head was gently bound to achieve a high, elongated form, seen not only as a mark of beauty and nobility, but also as a connection to ancestral wisdom. This shaping was symbolic, a way to honor cultural identity and to align the body with the grace and intelligence valued by the Mangbetu. Alongside such traditions, spiritual life was guided by diviners and healers who interpreted dreams, read omens, and communicated with spirits to solve problems or heal illness. Rituals were held to honor ancestors, for their continued presence was essential to community well-being. Offerings of food, drink, and crafted goods were made at sacred sites, and music often played a central role in these gatherings. The resonant tones of the harp lute, carved with faces and symbolic figures, were more than entertainment. They were a bridge between the human and the spiritual realms. To neglect these customs was to risk spiritual imbalance, inviting misfortune or illness. In the warm glow of an evening fire, Mangbetu musicians gather, their instruments decorated with the faces of spirits and ancestors. The deep, melodic tones mingle with the hum of insects and the distant rustle of the forest. Women with intricately styled hair and the graceful bearing of Lipombo sit beside elders, their posture as regal as the statues carved in the old days. A storyteller begins to speak, recounting the deeds of rulers, the lessons of the ancestors, and the sacred bond between people and the unseen world. The firelight flickers across carved drums, across polished wooden masks, across faces turned toward the night sky. For the Mangbetu, beauty, artistry, and spirituality are threads of the same fabric, a living heritage in which every song, every carving, every ritual is a way of keeping the ancestors close and the spirit world in balance with the living. Trobriand Islanders. In the turquoise waters of the Solomon Sea, scattered like emeralds upon the ocean, lie the Trobriand Islands, a chain of coral atolls fringed with white sand and swaying palms. For the Trobriand Islanders, these shores are not just home, but the very heart of their identity. Their villages stand among coconut groves and yam gardens. Their canoes rest upon beaches where generations have set out to sea. The Trobrianders' beliefs reach far back into ancestral time, to a world shaped by spirits, magic, and the guiding presence of the dead. Their myths tell of ancestors who emerged from the earth itself, climbing from caves and sacred ground to populate the islands. In this worldview, the natural and the supernatural are threads of the same weaving. The sea, the forest, and the gardens all animated by unseen forces. Central to Trobriand's spiritual life is the belief that death is not an end but a transformation. The soul, or Beloma, leaves the body and journeys to Tuma, an island of the spirits, where it lives in a world mirroring the one it left behind. The Beloma can return to visit the living, offering guidance or causing misfortune if ignored. To honor them, elaborate mourning rituals are performed, with wailing, feasting, and the exchange of valuables between families. Magic is also woven deeply into daily life. From the planting of yams to the setting of fishing nets, specific spells are chanted to ensure abundance and protection. Skilled magicians are keepers of these spells, passed down through generations, each tied to the power of ancestors and spirits. One of the most celebrated expressions of Trobriand tradition is the Kula Exchange, a ceremonial trading network linking distant islands. More than an exchange of shell necklaces and armbands, the Kula is a voyage of trust, alliance, and ritual, carried out under the blessings of ancestral spirits. To break the customs of Kula is to risk the wrath of both the living and the dead. On a quiet evening, the sea reflects the gold of the setting sun as a fleet of canoes glides toward the shore. Their hulls are painted with sacred patterns, their sails catching the warm breeze. Islanders gather, singing songs that have been sung for centuries, their voices mingling with the sound of waves. In the distance, the silhouette of Tuma fades into the dusk, the place where the ancestors wait. A magician steps forward to chant over the yam harvest, his words carried on the wind, calling on the spirits to grant prosperity. In this moment, the island feels like the center of the universe, a place where the living and the spirit world meet in harmony. For the Trobriand Islanders, life is not a path away from the ancestors, but a circle that always leads back to them, bound by the sea, the earth, and the unseen forces that shape their world. Kailash. High in the remote valleys of the Hindu Kush Mountains, where icy rivers carve through steep slopes and snow-capped peaks guard the horizon, live the Kailash people, a small community whose culture has endured for centuries in a land of changing tides. Their villages, built of timber and stone, cling to terraced hillsides overlooking fields of barley and walnut groves. The Kailash trace their ancestry to ancient times, carrying traditions unlike any other in the region. Their world is shaped by a spiritual vision in which the mountains are alive, the rivers are sacred, and every season carries its own divine presence. Their pantheon of gods and goddesses governs the cycles of life and nature, each honored with festivals that fill the valleys with music, dance, and offerings. The spiritual life of the Kailash is marked by a constant dialogue with the divine. Gods such as Dezao, the creator, and Balumain, the protector, are central to their belief, while countless spirits inhabit springs, groves, and high pastures. These beings must be honored with precision, for neglect or disrespect risks inviting misfortune. Sacred festivals mark the changing seasons: Joshi in spring, Uchal in summer, and Chomos in winter, each with rituals that renew the bond between people and gods. Offerings of bread, milk, and wine are made at wooden altars, their smoke rising toward the mountain peaks. Purity is central to Kailash belief, and many rituals involve cleansing both body and spirit to maintain harmony with the divine order. Certain spaces, such as sanctuaries and high meadows, are set apart as pure zones where only those who have undergone the required rites may enter. These customs are more than symbolic. they are seen as vital to ensuring good harvests, healthy livestock, and the safety of the community. To break these rules is to disturb the delicate balance between the human and the spiritual realms. In the heart of winter, as snow blankets the valley and the nights grow long, the Chaumos festival begins. Fires burn bright against the cold, casting shadows on wooden houses. Men and women, dressed in embroidered robes and vibrant headdresses, gather in circles, their dances echoing the rhythm of the mountains. Songs in the ancient Kalasha language rise into the night, telling of gods, heroes, and the creation of the world. Elders pour libations onto sacred stones, calling for blessings in the year to come. Above, the peaks stand silent under the stars, guardians of a faith that has survived for generations. In the flicker of firelight, the Kalash are not just celebrating the turning of the year, they are renewing the covenant between their people, their gods, and the mountains that cradle their world. Here, tradition is not a relic, but a living heartbeat, pulsing in rhythm with the land itself. Huaorani. In the heart of the Ecuadorian Amazon, where rivers weave like silver veins through a sea of green, and the canopy rises like a living cathedral, dwell the Huaorani people. For generations, they have lived among the winding waterways, dense foliage, and symphony of wildlife that form one of the most biodiverse regions on Earth. The forest is their home, their provider, and their spiritual realm. To the Huaorani, each tree has a spirit, each river a voice, each animal a guardian presence. Their oral histories speak of an ancestral covenant with the forest, a promise to live in harmony with it and defend it from harm. The forest is not simply where they survive. It is their kin, bound to them by blood, memory, and spirit. The Huaorani worldview sees no separation between the human and the natural. Both are part of a single, breathing entity. The spirits of the forest, known as Om, dwell in trees, animals, and hidden places, guiding hunters and protecting the balance of life. Shamans, or Pencos, act as intermediaries, entering trance through sacred plant medicine to speak with these spirits and receive visions for healing, guidance, and protection. Hunting is carried out with deep respect, accompanied by rituals that ensure the spirit of the animal returns peacefully to the forest. To violate this balance, by waste, by greed, or by harming sacred places, is believed to bring illness, misfortune, and the withdrawal of the forest's protection. In more recent history, the Huaorani have faced the challenge of defending their territory from encroachment, a struggle they frame not only as survival, but as fulfilling their sacred duty as guardians. The forest's health and the people's spiritual well-being are inseparable, each depending on the other. As dusk settles and the jungle comes alive with the calls of night creatures, a gathering forms around a small fire. A shaman's chant rises above the crackle of flames, the words curling into the dark like smoke, calling upon the Om to bless the people and protect the forest. Painted in red and black from the seeds of the achiote and the soot of the fire, the Huaorani sit in silence, listening to the rhythmic beat of a wooden drum that mimics the heartbeat of the earth. The air is thick with the scent of burning resin, a bridge between the human and spirit worlds. Above, the canopy sways in the night wind, as if in answer to the call. In these moments, the Huaorani are not just inhabitants of the Amazon. They are its living guardians, bound to its fate by an ancient pact. For them, to protect the forest is to protect the soul of the world itself. Shipibo Conibo. Along the slow, winding rivers of the Peruvian Amazon, where mist rises from the water at dawn and the forest hums with life, live the Shipibo Conibo people. Their villages stand on the riverbanks, framed by towering palms and the songs of countless birds. For the Shipibo Kanaibo, the Amazon is a vast living spirit, a realm where the seen and unseen flow together like the currents of the river itself. At the center of their spiritual life lies a sacred vine, ayahuasca, a plant medicine they believe was given by the spirits to heal, to teach, and to open the pathways between worlds. The patterns painted and woven into their textiles are more than decoration. They are maps of visions received in ceremony, visual songs that hold the memory of the spirit world. Ayahuasca ceremonies are led by healers known as Onaya, men and women who have undergone years of apprenticeship in the forest, guided by plants, dreams, and the whispers of spirits. The brew, made from the ayahuasca vine and the leaves of the chacruna plant, is prepared with prayer and song. When night falls, the Onaya drinks alongside the participants, entering a shared vision space where spirits appear as animals, rivers of light, and geometric patterns. Through Icaros, sacred songs learned from the plants, the healer calls forth protective forces, removes illness, and guides the visions toward understanding and balance. The experience is not without danger. The spiritual realm holds both benevolent and malevolent beings, and the skill of the healer is what keeps the participants safe. The Shipibo Kanaibo believe that illness often begins in the spirit before it reaches the body, and without addressing this deeper cause, true healing is impossible. Ayahuasca is therefore not a mere ritual. It is a dialogue with the spirit of the forest itself. In the heart of the night, under a sky scattered with stars, the Onaya sits before a glowing ember, the scent of burning mapacho tobacco curling into the darkness. Around them, participants sit in a circle, the forest pressing close, its chorus of insects and frogs joining the rhythm of the ceremony. The Icaro rises, a haunting melody that seems to weave through the air like a living thread, carrying the voices of the plants and ancestors. Some see rivers of light, others feel the touch of a guiding presence. The healer moves with quiet precision, blowing tobacco smoke to seal the body, shaking a bundle of leaves to call the spirits closer. In this space, the boundaries between body, soul, and forest dissolve. The Shipibo Kanaibo know that the world is more than what the eyes can see. And through ayahuasca, they walk the hidden paths, returning with the songs that keep their people in harmony with the great breathing spirit of the Amazon. Hopi. In the mesas of the American Southwest, where red sandstone cliffs rise against a sky of unbroken blue and the desert wind carries the scent of sage, live the Hopi people, one of the oldest continuous cultures in North America. Their villages, built from stone and earth, crown the mesa tops like watchful sentinels over the valleys below. For the Hopi, this land is sacred, a gift from the Creator, and every rock, cloud, and plant carries meaning. At the heart of their spiritual life is the world of the Kachinas, powerful spirit beings who dwell in the mountains, clouds, and springs, bringing rain, fertility, and balance to the earth. The Hopi believe that these spirits visit their villages in ceremonial form, teaching lessons, blessing the people, and maintaining the harmony between the human and natural worlds. The Kachina traditions are woven into the Hopi ceremonial calendar, with each season bringing specific rituals. Men of the Kachina societies don elaborate masks and costumes, transforming into the spirits they represent. These beings are not merely impersonated, they are believed to be present, their essence called down through prayer and song. Dances are performed in the plaza, accompanied by drums and chanting, while the community gathers to witness and receive blessings. intricate carved Kachina dolls are made, each representing a particular spirit, to teach children the identities and roles of these beings. Every detail, from the colors on the mask to the rhythm of the dance, holds symbolic meaning tied to the cycles of rain, planting, and harvest. But with this sacred trust comes responsibility. The ceremonies must be conducted with precision, respect, and spiritual purity, for to neglect them risks disrupting the flow of rain and fertility upon which the community depends. The Hopi see the balance of the world as delicate, and the Kachinas as essential to keeping that balance intact. On a summer afternoon, as dark clouds gather on the horizon, the sound of drums echoes across the mesa. In the plaza below, dancers emerge in brilliant regalia, eagle feathers, turquoise, and painted masks that seem to gaze from another realm. The beat of the drum matches the pulse of the earth, and the chants rise like wind toward the sky. Around the edges of the plaza, children watch, holding the carved Kachina dolls gifted to them, their eyes wide with wonder. A light rain begins to fall, dappling the dusty ground. For the Hopi, this is not coincidence. It is the blessing of the Kachinas, the spirits walking among them. In these moments, the line between human and spirit blurs, and the people stand in the living presence of the forces that sustain their world. The ceremonies are more than tradition. They are a covenant between the Hopi, their ancestors, and the powers that bring life to the desert. Cherokee. In the rolling hills and river valleys of the Appalachian Mountains, where morning mist clings to the trees and the sound of rushing streams fills the air, live the Cherokee, a people whose roots in this land stretch back for centuries. The forests, rivers, and mountains are more than scenery. They are sacred relatives, bound to the Cherokee through stories that speak of creation, transformation, and balance. Among these stories is the tale of how the world began on a great island floating in a vast sea, formed by the work of animals and guided by the Great Spirit. In the Cherokee worldview, every living thing has a spirit, and harmony between them ensures the well-being of all. This harmony is maintained through ancient rituals, seasonal ceremonies, and a deep respect for the laws given by the Creator. The spiritual life of the Cherokee is guided by the principle of balance between the physical and spiritual, the living and the ancestral, the people and the land. Ceremonies mark the turning of the seasons, such as the green corn ceremony, which renews the community's relationship with the earth and the Creator. Fire holds a central place in these rituals, symbolizing purity and the eternal presence of the divine. Sacred dances, accompanied by drums and rattles, call upon the spirits for health, guidance, and protection. Healing traditions are carried by medicine men and women, who use prayers, herbal remedies, and sacred songs to restore both body and spirit. The number 7 holds great power, representing the 7 Cherokee clans and the 7 directions: north, south, east, west, above, below, and center, each with its own spiritual significance. These practices are not mere formalities. They are seen as vital to maintaining the order of the world. Neglecting them risks bringing imbalance, illness, or misfortune upon the people. As dusk settles over the mountains, the community gathers around a central fire, its flames sending sparks into the night sky. An elder begins to chant in the Cherokee language, the words flowing like the river nearby, carrying the memory of generations. Dancers move in rhythm, their feet tracing ancient patterns in the earth, the beat of the drum steady as a heartbeat. The smoke from the fire rises toward the stars, carrying prayers to the Creator and the spirits of the ancestors. In the glow of the flames, the Cherokee are united, the living, The spirits, the land, and the sky bound together in a web of connection as old as time itself. Here, in the heart of the Appalachians, the ancient myths are not distant stories, but living truths, renewed with every chant, every dance, and every offering to the sacred fire.